It's a great day to sigh and a great day to talk about the Bible, and we're going to do both today on Chris Fabry Live. Welcome to the continuing conversation. Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, a program mainly for women. Men, you can listen too, of course, but I have a couple of burning questions. One, have you been thinking about starting a Bible study in your home for other women? If so, what's holding you back from doing that? You're going to get some good information and encouragement today from our guests. And the other question I have for you is, what good thing happened to you because you either started a Bible study in your home or you attended a Bible study with other women? What happened on the inside? One tangible benefit of doing that. Call us 877-548-3675. Thanking our team helping out today, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trisha's our producer. Gabby T's in the chair. Laura will be answering your calls today. And since it's Friday, that's right, friend, it's time for the fabulous Fabry Friday Sigh. What's it do? One, we oxygenate your blood. Two, we get your endorphins going. Three, we raise your serotonin level. Four, we promote lymphatic drainage. And five, we stimulate your parasympathetic system. That's why we call it the five lung languages. We also stimulate your vagus nerve. We help you release acetylcholine. And don't forget what it does to cortisol dissipation. Taking 4 seconds of air through your nose right now. Hold it 4 seconds. And then as you release that air through your mouth, push on the left side of your rib cage to get rid of all that bad carbon dioxide. Today, let's give a sigh for the benefits of a Bible study in your home, for the inviting couches in the living room, the croissants or cinnamon rolls or freshly baked cookies. Give a coffee sigh. What would a Bible study be without the aroma of freshly brewed coffee, decaf if it's at night, or the herbal tea? From Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between, God's Word is powerful for you and me, and so is the prayer, the fellowship, the camaraderie, the tears, the learning, the feeling you're not alone with your problems as you do life together. We celebrate that today, the fabulous Fabry Friday Sigh, brought to you by the law firm of Choo Choo and Dunnigan. All rights reserved. Our guests today are in Chicago for the Called Conference at Moody Bible Institute. We have a link to that at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. There are details there. If you are within driving distance of Chicago, you can find the details. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Guess what? We have a green button for you. Starts tomorrow morning. So find out about it at chrisfabrylive.org. I said the law firm of Choo Choo and Dunnigan, Asherita Choo Choo, is presenting a seminar at the conference called How to Write and Publish Your Bible Study, Five Things I Wish I Knew Before I Got Started. She's a best-selling author, national speaker, and host of the Prayers of Rest podcast, and the author of a number of books. One is a Bible study. I think it's on the book of Colossians. He is enough. Is that right, Asherita? Get all that right?
Yep, you got it right.
Yay! Did you know that you were in the law firm of Choo Choo and Dunnigan?
No, but I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I want to see it on the wall. Judy Dunnigan is speaking on living in the unshakable victory of Jesus from her book, The Loudest Roar, which we've talked about here. Judy is an author and acquisitions editor for the Women's Bible Studies and Books at Moody Publishers. Judy, welcome back. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me. This is so much fun to do this with Asherita.
It is going to be really fun. You two have known each other a long time. So I just said, you know, they'll turn my mic off and you two talk. But I really want to hear your heart for and your passion for women and the Word. That's the title of our program today. What are some of the benefits of Bible study? Asherita, you first.
Oh, man, there's so many, specifically in studying the Bible together. In that I just started a Bible study with a friend this past fall. It's been a few years post-COVID since I've gotten to gather together with women to study the Bible together. And so I texted my friend Melissa and I was like, hey, let's just start doing this together this fall. And we studied through the book of Exodus. And one of the great things is, you know, we would read and study the passage for that week, about a chapter a week, individually during the week. And then we'd get together Wednesday evenings and talk about, like, what stood out to you? Where do you see something about God's character in this passage? And without fail, Chris, every single person pointed out something different. And those conversations, those discussions were so rich. We were able to go so deep, not only into the study of God's Word, but also sharing openly about things that are going on in our own life that relate to the passage. So it's just a beautiful way to gather together to build those friendships deeper based on Scripture.
So one of the things then is
the thing that you didn't weren't cognizant of, you didn't pick up on that, somebody else will, and it'll take you deeper and make you think of things. And so there's this synergy that goes on with the study.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Judy?
Well, my story is interesting because I'm a pastor's kid, and I've grown up knowing and loving Jesus. I went to Bible college, actually went to Moody many years ago, but it wasn't until we lived overseas that I opened my home for an outreach Bible study. Many of my neighbors did not yet know Jesus, didn't know his word, and we dove into the book of John, and Chris, God used that to awaken my heart for a deeper love for God's word. And then he took me from that into ministry at a church where our whole focus for the women's ministry was to get women into the word and dive deep, as Ashrita shared, to have us in community and studying God's word. And now I'm at Moody helping publish Bible studies. So it's been a really sweet journey.
That's another question then is how to choose what you're going to study. I mean, there's Exodus. There's a great study in Colossians that I've heard about here today. The Gospels are always a good thing. Is it something that is better if the leader of the study chooses and invites people to, or do you take a poll and vote on it, which can be I'll never go to that study because it's on this type of thing. What do you think about that, Judy?
Well, what we did at our church is we would set the curriculum. We would choose the Bible studies, but we had leaders who would work on that with me, and we'd pray over it. And we had different kind of studies on campus. We had one for young moms, and so we'd go to a theme or a book of the Bible we thought that they would want to dive into. And then we knew there were new Christians or seekers, and we'd often stay in the Gospels. But what we're finding with our research and the studies we're publishing at Moody is there's such a hunger. God has awakened a hunger in the hearts and lives of women, and they just want to know our Lord Jesus more. They want to dwell in the Word. Many love to go to the Old Testament and see the thread of where you see Jesus throughout the Word. And so there's really so much that you can do. And so I think the key is to seek the Lord if you're in leadership, and He'll guide you in your team. If you're opening your home like I did, we started with actually a book by Linda Dillo, Calm My Anxious Heart, which was less threatening. There's Bible study questions in that. But then we moved to the book of John, and several of them came to know the Lord because we were dwelling in the book of John.
So is that, Ashrita, is that one of the things, is just find people who have a passion for the word, or people who don't yet have one who can catch it from you in the group?
Yeah, I think it's helpful. For me personally, I'm more of an introvert, so it was so helpful to pair up with a co-host or a co-leader. Someone who is that extrovert, who is the one who will invite women in, who is warm and welcoming. Not that I'm not all those things, but it's so much better to do it with someone else. And if you have a co-leader, then you can feed off of each other in leading the study together. And we've had women this past year, I would say every woman who came to Bible study had a desire to know God more. Very different backgrounds. One of them was a pastor's kid. I grew up as a missionary's kid. So about half of us were deeply churched in our growing up years. And two or three of us were completely new to the Bible. For one of them, it was her second Bible study ever. And for one of my friends, it was her first ever Bible study. And we would go through the book of Exodus, and my friend Jen would be like, I didn't know that was there. Wait, what? That happened? And it was such a refreshing conversation because you had some of that, some of the deeper historic perspective of like, oh, I grew up with a story of the plagues. I grew up with a story of the Passover. Like, this is very familiar to me. And for us, we had to battle some complacency. We had to battle some like going into the text thinking we already know it instead of going in hungry.
Yes.
Whereas for the newer ones, especially Exodus, was kind of intimidating. And so they had to bring, I think, courage and an openness to learn. And that synergy in the group, Chris, was so beautiful in that we had both. And some of our friends who were newer to it, with just that excitement, that light bulb moment of like, wait, the Passover lamb, isn't that Jesus? Mm. And seeing them connect that for the very first time, just such incredible, incredible conversations.
Tina says on her Facebook page, it is my primary source of female connection. My best friends have come from women's Bible studies I either led or attended. I have several forever friends because of them. So there's one of the benefits of being in Bible study. What about you? If you've started a study or you've attended, what are the benefits? 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. And if you're thinking about starting one, don't go away. More straight ahead. I want to hear from women today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Tell me the benefits of studying the Bible with other women in a small group, in a home. Maybe you've led a study or you've just attended. Lisa says, I started 24 years ago. Shortly after began studying, I developed a hunger and thirst for a real relationship with the Lord and His Word. It has transformed my life and the lives of my family members. I praise God for calling me into that study. So that's what Lisa says. A transformed life can't get any better than that. 877-548-3675. Asherita Choo-Choo is with us. Junie Dunnigan is with us. You can find our featured resources there at chrisfabrylive.org. They're speaking at the CALLED Conference, which happens tomorrow at Moody Bible Institute. And information about that is at the website as well, chrisfabrylive.org. Asherita, you were saying during the break, the whole reason why you write Bible studies is to get out of the way or write yourself out of a job. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. I want women to feel equipped and empowered to sit down with God's word and open His word and hear from Him directly without the need for an intermediary person to guide them through it. Now, it's helpful in the beginning, especially like the Bible can feel intimidating because it is an ancient book. It is a collection of God speaking to His people. One big story that points to Jesus, right? But even though the Bible was written for us, it wasn't written to us. So it's helpful to have a guide, especially as you're getting started, to learn healthy principles of how to read and study and interpret and apply God's word. But eventually, my desire is that women would feel like they can sit down with any book of the Bible and hear from God without the need of a written curriculum, so to speak. And so it's a big passion of mine to actually teach women how to study the Bible on their own. That's why I created in my Bible studies, I have the setup of a daily snack or a feast. So whether you have just like 3 minutes, here's how you can jump in and just learn one thing about God. Or if you have a half hour, an hour, here's how you can sit down and do an inductive study, feasting on God's word. But don't let a day go by without actually feeding your soul with the word of God. Jesus says He's the bread of life. And so let's come to Him that He might feed us.
One question or clarification, because I can see the phone starting to ring if somebody heard this. You said the Bible's not written to us. Yes, it is. It's written to us. What you mean is the original letter or the gospel or the book was written to a specific audience, not to you and me, and we have to know who that audience is and who was writing it, right?
Exactly. So it is written for us, absolutely. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, and is how we encounter God in His Word, by getting to know Him more. But it's important to understand that these books, the collection that makes up the Bible, were written to specific people in a specific time and place in a specific culture. And it's helpful to understand that so that we might healthfully interpret, like use healthy hermeneutical principles to interpret. Because otherwise you can pull a verse out of context and make it mean something it doesn't. Like as a teenager in church youth group, one of our favorites was Peter's instruction that you would greet one another with a holy kiss. And we never actually acted it out, but it was one of those like, well, the Bible says it. It's like, well, what did it mean culturally when Peter said that to one another? We need to keep that in mind.
Yes. I'm going through it. You can't separate it either from geography or from world events that were going on. I'm going through the book of Acts, and it's like, I don't know where Pamphylia is and Phrygia, and what is it? And what is Galatians, and where are they? And who Paul and Barnabas were talking about. And when you see this, it's like, wow, this really happened. Mm-hmm. So I like that. You can name your group, if you want to name your group, Bible study, Healthy Hermeneutics, go ahead, friend, from Asherita. I want to go to Sarah in Chicago. Sarah, why did you call today?
Hello. Hi, Chris and ladies. Thanks for taking my call. And I guess I'm very passionate about this subject. So yesterday when I heard you were going to be talking about this, I was super excited. The only problem is I can't think of one thing. There's so many blessings from Bible study. I actually didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was invited to a church in my college years, and I went to an awesome church in Chicago. I was involved in Bible study for about over 15 years now. I'm in my mid-40s, and I can't even begin to describe how blessed I've been from it. It's like a well. It's like kind of like a well, the Bible study, and I believe it's one of the primary ways that God uses to bless us.
Yes.
Is what I've been in, it's for me over 15 years now of Bible study, and it's been, I'm kind of a nerd at heart, so it's been a joy as well just to learn.
Sarah, I love your heart because it's almost as if I can hear it in your voice. I can't explain to you what it has done in my life. But there's something I can tell, you know, by the way that you're smiling. And I was going to say to anybody who calls in here today, your effervescence, you know, your passion for studying the Bible is going to leak onto somebody else who needs to hear this today. So I want to hear from you, 877-548-3675. But Sarah, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to say something else?
Oh, no, I mean, that was basically it. You summed it up really well. Studying the Bible, it was life-changing for me. I mean, in 15 years into being involved in Bible study, I've never gotten bored. The complete opposite. Every time I study my Bible, I'm like, wow, you know, I just finished Exodus, and I was thinking, man, how in the world, like if I sat down and tried to figure out how could I defeat the greatest army known to man at that point, the Egyptian army, without using a single spear, how God did that, you know, you see how brilliant God is as well as, you know, everything else. So
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I mean,
all he had was a staff.
I mean, I just read through Exodus.
And opened the floodgates, opened the water, and they went through. That's a really good point. And there's another example, Judy, of what happens when you study something together. You see something, somebody else sees it different and lets you know about it, right?
Exactly. And Sarah, I love your heart. And I love Bible nerds. Both Ashrita and I are that. And just how it's transformed your life. And it, you know, God's word, we're told, is like living water. It's the living word. And your heart for that is contagious. So thank you for sharing with us today.
Okay. Bible nerds, I'm going to write that one down. And healthy hermeneutic. And so we've got all that. But what about those who are listening who say, you know, I've been through so many different studies, and even leaders who've said this, and I kind of have lost my hunger. It's not new to me anymore. Judy, what do you say to that?
Well, that happened to me in leadership. I was heading up Bible studies, and I found it a dry time for me. And I just cried out to the Lord, and He already knew what I was dealing with. And I asked Him, I go, could you awaken my heart again for your word? Could you make me desperate for your word? And He was faithful in that. And that's when I started to just spend more time alone in the word early in the morning and just dwell in the Psalms or do studies on my own and study on my own. And it, to this day, it was one of the most precious times times I've had with the Lord. And then soon after that, our family started going through deep trials, and I had to have the Word. You know, it was almost like it gave me my next breath, and God really did give me wonder for His Word and not to take it for granted.
Yes. Cindy says, I made lifelong friends of all ages. There's the other thing. You know, you can have specific groups like young moms you were mentioning, but when you have people of all ages, she says, who have shared so much wisdom with me, my life would have gone in a different direction without their knowledge and influence. That's encouraging, isn't it, Ashrita?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had the benefit of being in Bible studies, for 20 years, maybe, wherever our family moved, wherever I went, whether it was college or starting out newlywed, different churches, you get to meet different people in different stages of life. And this kind of goes back to, you know, not just different perspectives on what you're studying in scripture, but different seasons of life, watching women who were 10, 15 years older than me. Because as we'd gather to study God's word, we'd also spend time in prayer, praying for each other. And so watching them pray for their husbands, for their children, for specific challenges that they were facing, I wasn't there yet, but they modeled that faithful prayer life for me as a young woman. And so that's part of the beauty of gathering together around God's word is, yeah, you can just gather with those who are the same age group as you, but when you introduce just more diversity in that group, mm-hmm. different perspectives, different cultures, different ages, it really does show the beauty of the body of Christ, that we are not homogenous, that when God calls us out, He doesn't make us all cookie-cutter Christians. He works in our lives in different ways, and sometimes God comforts us so that we might turn around and offer that same comfort to someone else. That's been my experience, Chris, so many times.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this program is my thought was, there is somebody listening. It could be man or woman, but we're speaking mainly to women today. There's a woman who's listening who's been thinking, I want to start a Bible study. I think I'll start a Bible study and we'll do it in the spring or we'll do it in the summer. But she's saying, yeah, I don't have the degree and I don't know which study to do. And will anybody come? And, you know, all of these different questions. So can you just in the next couple of minutes here, and then we'll take more of your calls, but can you talk about the principles of starting a study in your own home? Anything you want to talk about from, you know, what day do you do it? What time of day? What do you serve? Do you have to serve something? There's one thing you've already said, and that is co-teach. To have somebody else that is there with you is a real help, Ashrita. What else would you say?
This sounds like such a Sunday school answer, Chris, but pray first. all those details. God, who should I invite? What should we study? Where should we meet? Holy Spirit, would you lead me? Would you give me wisdom on all of that? I faced those fears too. Over the past few years, like I said, post-COVID, I had wanted to start a Bible study, and I actually reached out to women in my neighborhood and it didn't work out. So that fear of rejection is so real. But when you walk in obedience to God's Spirit, it doesn't become a failure. It becomes so it wasn't a neighborhood Bible study. God, would you show me what is it supposed to be? What should it look like? And He will guide you. He will direct your steps. I've also found it helpful to, especially like this year, we finished Exodus, we're going to move on to something else, to ask them, like, what do you want to do over the summer? Now that we have an established group, allowing participants to have a voice in what they would want that to look like, I think encourages them to continue coming back because they feel ownership in this study. It's not just Ashrita and Melissa's Bible study. It's, this is our study. This is what we're doing together. And that's where some of those lifelong friendships will form out of.
Judy?
Well, when I did an outreach neighborhood study in Michigan, I had a co-partner who knew the Lord, knew the Word, and we launched that together, and we had over 20 women coming. Some knew the Lord, some didn't. And that's when we did the Book of John, and it grew. Several came to know the Lord. Others went deeper in their faith, and this many, many years later, that study has grown into many different studies in that neighborhood, which is pretty special. We had some rules, too. We were very careful not to talk about denominations because we had women from many different churches. I've heard that often women will go to study and they'll feel like they don't belong because of a different church they attend. And we wanted it to be welcoming and focus on the Word and just dwell in the Word. And then we said, no gossip. We're not going to talk about family things and husbands or anything like that. And it was to get to know Jesus and be in the Word. And I think that's even important in the church. As if there's larger studies in a church, to have kind of those rules, those guidelines, and to make it welcoming. If a woman doesn't study that week or do her homework, she can still come back to the study and be with us. And I think that's so important.
Sometimes you get more out of the conversation. Like, even if you didn't prepare the text, simply showing up with an open Bible and hearing the conversation around it, like, that for me is the highlight of my Bible study. It's Wednesday night when we actually come together and share. And Judy, like you said, I say the same thing to the women in my group. Like, it doesn't matter if you did it or not. Like, you will get a lot if you do it. But even if you didn't, just show up. Come be a part of this.
That's right.
That's Asherita Chuchu, also Judy Dunnigan. We're talking about Bible studies. What are the benefits? Go into your calls, 877-548-3675. Or go to the website. You can find out more right there, chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead. Power of the Word in women's lives is our topic today. We'll get right back to it, but I want to tell you about a group that wants to help a significant number of people where you live. Somebody in your church, somebody in your neighborhood has found themselves in an unwanted pregnancy, an unplanned pregnancy. And the culture says, hey, that's easy. Just get rid of it. I'm so glad CareNet has a pregnancy decision line where counselors can provide answers and the hope that women and men need both call that number. But I really think there's more to it than just having the phone line staffed with counselors. That's why CareNet began their church engagement initiative. I think a lot of people are asking, I'm pro-life. I believe my belief is rock solid, the dignity of the unborn. But what do I do with that other than just talk about it or put it on social media? Making Life Disciples is a program to equip churches to provide compassion, hope, and help, and discipleship to women and men considering abortion. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. You'll see a note from CareNet to you as a listener to the program. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Click the green CareNet button today. With Judy Dunnigan and Asherita Chuchu, Jean is on the line talking about the benefits of Bible study. Hi, Jean. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
I wanted to share that in addition to teaching home Bible studies, years ago I taught some in a couple of different apartment complexes, and these ladies invited their neighbors, and some of them started coming to church, and I think some got saved. And then one lady's husband, in fact, the lady who hosted it, her husband used to go to another part of the house, and then he started inching up and inching up. Eventually, he got saved, and he became a deacon in our church.
So there is something about men here, too. And, you know, that just shows you never know what is going to happen in a person's life. Of Judy, who gets a hunger for God's word and then follows that through, right?
Oh, that's one of the most wonderful things to see. We had a woman who came to our study at the church very faithfully and went so deep with the Lord, and now she's leading her own studies. And she was discipled through our studies, and she's so hungry. She leads a study in her home and one at the church, and that's the ripple effect that we love to see, you know, disciples making disciples who make disciples.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Ripple effect, Bible nerds, and healthy hermeneutic. We've heard all of that. Asherita, have you seen that, Asherita, that ripple effect?
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that I love about our local church in Ohio is the women's ministry is really focused on getting women into the Word. understanding that if a woman comes to encounter God, it transforms not just her life, but her marriage, her parenting, wherever she works, whether that's in the home, outside the home, the neighborhood where she is. That's true of everyone. But as relational people, like, get the word into a woman's heart and get a woman into the word. And that transformation will ripple into her family, her community, and throughout. And that's what I've loved seeing at our local church. We started out with about, I want to say maybe 40 or 50 women studying the Bible every week. And that grew to about 100 and 150. And women who, it was their first time coming to Bible study after being discipled in God's Word year over year, would start leading Bible studies, like Judy said. Their hunger for God's Word was so contagious that they wanted to invite their friends in. In this past year, we had over 250 women in our church who were a part of weekly Bible studies. It was the number one attended weekly event at our church. And that just makes my heart sing, mm-hmm. to see women's hunger and desire to know God and to love Him, but also to know and to love other women as well. It really does change everything.
Here's another phrase, trickle-down transformation. You know,
you're on a roll, Chris.
I know. I feel like you're real creative here today. But if you catch that, you know, that passion and you are changed, it's going to change the people around you. It's no guarantee because, you know, they're individuals and you can't control them, but they're going to see that light. They have to. They have to react to it, respond to it like that husband did. I'd love that story. Here's another Jean in Wisconsin. Hi, Jean. Go right ahead.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. I was just sharing that almost 45 years ago now, I was waiting to get married. And I remember thinking, well, this is something Jesus can't relate to because he never got married. So he doesn't know the angst of waiting for that wedding day. And the Holy Spirit gently reminded me that he's still waiting for his bride.
That's good.
So I appreciated that. And I was fortunate enough to go to Christian school 7th grade through 12th grade. And I think having Bible class every day alongside English and history and math really gave me a great overview of the scripture. And many times the Holy Spirit has brought that back to me from those classes.
That's really good. Jean, thank you for calling today. Asher, do you want to respond to that?
Thank you.
Yeah, Jean, thank you for bringing that up because it just makes me think about so many years that I've studied God's Word, and not every day, not every week is this euphoric light bulb moment of like, oh, I just learned something new about God. Like some days it's just faithfully showing up and reading and studying, believing that God will use that in your life at some point down the road. And so I love this imagery that has been so helpful for me is every time I read or study something in the Bible, it's like making a deposit in a treasure chest. It's like putting a little nugget of gold or a little gem in that treasure chest, not knowing when God is going to open up that chest and see, oh, that thing that you studied 3 years ago, here's how it applies to your life today. So every time we are in God's Word, it is time so well spent. And it might not be that today is the day you need it. It might be that you're studying that thing because 5 years from now, you're going to have a panic attack when something happens. Yeah. And the Spirit of God is going to bring that verse to mind, the one that you faithfully studied 5 years ago. And so the more we study, the more deposits we make in that treasure chest, the more that we have to draw upon that God's Spirit will reveal to us over time. Even though I've been studying the Bible for over 25 years, there are still new nuggets of truth that I discover. And every time I encounter something that doesn't make sense, that I'm like, I don't know, God, this doesn't quite, like, it's not clear to me why you would act in this way. Would you show it to me? Would you reveal it to me? And there's that excitement that he's about to show me something new about himself in the Word.
The prism of somebody else's life too. You know, the sister that's right next to you that is encountering this and talks about it. Judy, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens over and over, and it's been life-changing for me. That happened to me once when I was going through deep sorrow, and just a friend at the Bible study, I don't even really remember what she said from the Word, something she had been studying, and it's exactly what I needed to hear. And so the Lord used the community for that, but His Word. And I think it's important, too, to remember that the power of God's word. We're told that it is a mighty weapon when the enemy comes at us with lies about who we are, about who God is, or the temptations. We're told in Ephesians 6 that God's word is the sword of the Spirit. And that's where there's been times when the enemy's come at me and I just read God's word out loud, or I'll pray it, or I'll just run to it to remind me of the truths of who He is and His protection over us.
That's Judy Dunnigan, Ashrita Chuchu. Both of them are speaking at the CALLED Conference, which is a one-day conference at Moody Bible Institute. Starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday. So for many of you in the country, it's like, well, I can't do that. But if you're in the Midwest, if you're near in driving distance of Moody, the CALLED Equipping Women in Ministry Leadership Conference is Saturday. We've got information about that. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see a green button that says CALLED Conference. And then I see another green button beyond that, Moody Publishers Women. And this is, Judy, this is where you come in. There are all kinds of Bible studies here. And a little bird told me just a little bit ago that on Monday, let's say you're planning to do this, on Monday, everything is 50% off at Moody Publishers, that one day only. Is that right, Judy?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So you can go there. If you click that, moodypublisherswomen.com, you'll see a lot of those studies that you can look at, and maybe there's five women. You can, let's say there's six women, you only have to pay for three of them if it's 50% off. And is my math right on that, Judy?
Sounded good to me. I'm a writer and an editor.
Yeah. We're Bible nerds, remember? Not mathematicians.
You don't do math. Okay, that's all right. It's pretty easy. So the CALLED Conference information is right there. The Moody Publishers Women is right there as well. Or if there's anything else at Moody Publishers, the Moody Bible Commentary, Five Love Languages, that kind of thing. On Monday only, that 50% off is going on. And you can find all of that and a whole lot more at the website, chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. More about women and the Word straight ahead on Moody Radio. Talking about the power of God's Word today, I have been going through a timeless faith classic, Philip Keller's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, this most famous poem in pretty much all of literature, and it's told from the perspective of a man who used to be a shepherd. It was 54 years ago, I think, that Philip Keller first published this book. And he goes through all of the things that what it really means to be a shepherd and what it means to be a sheep and the struggle it is for, well, I just read this. Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. So there's a reason why the psalmist and God as well says, you're a sheep. There's a reason why he uses that imagery. I'd love to send you a copy of this. Give a gift of any size to Chris Fabry Live. We'll send you A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Beautifully illustrated. It's a hardcover. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down. You'll see how you can support us right there. chrisfabrylive.org. Or call 866-95-FABRY, and thanks for your support here on this Friday, middle of April. Ashrita Chuchu is going to present a seminar at the CALLED Conference, How to Write and Publish Your Bible Study, Five Things I Wish I Knew Before I Got Started. Judy Dunnigan is going to be speaking on Living in the Unshakable Victory of Jesus. And we're talking about Bible studies. We have to get to this because I saw this on the Facebook page as well. There was one person who said, I went to a Bible study. I was late. They castigated. The leader called me out, even though she had done the, you know, the pre-work of this, she said, and I didn't go back. It was something like 30 years. And mm-hmm. then she said, and now I've gone back and here's my experience now. And it was a much richer, deeper, wonderful experience. But there are people who are listening to us, Asherita, and saying, you know, you're talking about the benefits. I've been to a Bible study and I didn't have that same experience. What do you say to that person?
First of all, I'm so sorry that it was a bad experience. As the body of Christ, like, we ought to be the most welcoming and warm and inviting people. And sometimes that's not the case. And so I want you to know, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, I had a terrible experience in Bible study, I just want you to hear the Good Shepherd's heart for you, that he invites you back in, that he's holding on to you, and he will walk with you through that pain into healing. And I'd love for listeners to try again, to ask God for courage, to find another group, to connect with someone who does understand what it's like to go through some of the hard things. I mean, I don't get my homework done every week. Like, there are times when I'm the leader and it's Wednesday morning and I'm still trying to, you know, figure out, okay, what are we going to talk about tonight? Because I've got 3 kids, 10 and under. Like, that's just real life. So if you are listening to this and you are the leader of a Bible study, I would just encourage you to ask for the heart of God toward the people in your group. Ask for empathy and compassion. Ask him to open your eyes to see what he sees, to give you wisdom in how to handle some group dynamics that might be challenging, because you get people in a room together and it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be hard too.
It's going to be messy. Okay, that's what one caller said. There's someone in my study who brings her problems into the study and basically makes it all about her. So, and you know, for good reason, people are struggling. But if it happens every week and we monopolize either, I think this verse means this, or, you know, a person with a lot of problems who just talks about them, Judy, what do you do? How do you handle that?
That's one of the most difficult things, because you don't want them to feel like they've made a mistake, but you do it. Monopolizing in a small group happens a lot. And what we did at our church, we had over 600 women come into studies through the week. And so we would train the table leaders and train them for situations like that, and how in a gentle way they could talk with her if that continues to happen after, as a friend, or take her to coffee and just say, so love your input, but we need to give other people time. And it's very hard. There's no pat answer. A lot of prayer goes into it. But that is about all you can do. And it happens. Boy, it happened every time in our studies. We dealt with that. Or sometimes the prayer requests can take up most of
right.
the time. Yeah.
The day of the week or the evening of the week, you know, and the time and all of that, or the refreshments, that those can sometimes be weigh you down and keep you from actually launching in. Or maybe I'm wrong with that. You know, we just have to have the right thing here, rather than we're focused really on this. And if we have a nice, you know, pot of tea or coffee or whatever, it's okay. Asherita, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I remember being so surprised maybe about 7 or 8 years ago when I joined a group where the leader served nothing but tea. I was like, wait, where are the snacks? Where are the refreshments? I was so used to it being a certain way. But I realized the wisdom over weeks and weeks of attending. I realized the wisdom of, like, food was not a distraction. It wasn't a for the host, it wasn't a big deal then, because it's just clean up this one room of your house. And I think that's another big challenge as a host, is like, oh, I need to get my house in top shape for women to come over. But it's like, just clear off an area in your house. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to look like it's from a magazine. And just invite women to come, put out some water or tea, or invite women to bring and contribute something. If you do want food, sometimes can encourage that fellowship, but it doesn't have to look Instagram perfect. I think we really need to battle that ideal of, oh, I'm going to wait to host a Bible study until I have the right house, or until I have space in my day to create the right atmosphere. Just start where you are. And if that means that you go to a local coffee shop because you're not quite ready to host it in your home, that's okay too. Or it might be that everyone takes turns hosting in their home. That's a great way to get to know women and kind of peek behind the scenes with them. So just ask God to give you creativity, whatever challenges or obstacles come up, because there will be obstacles and challenges, and He will guide you. He will.
Well, sometimes it's the obstacles that lead you to the deeper thing, you know, and I've seen it happen in this program, and you'll have a caller who is taking you a different direction than I wanted to go, and I thought we ought to go, and then you go there, and you realize you're not in control, mm-hmm. you know, that God wants to take you to a certain place, and so those struggles, Judy, can actually lead to some really good things.
Definitely. And to remember that the Holy Spirit's in the room and we depend on Him. And as you're leading, those were some of the most rich times when the Lord would just take us in a different direction. I remember one time we didn't even know, one of the women didn't know Jesus as her Savior. It was more head knowledge. And some of her questions she brought up, we just followed her lead and led her to the Lord that day. And so just to remember that you want Him to be in control over everything and to surrender to that.
There was one caller who called a little bit ago, and she said, I learned to pray at a Bible study. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to pray. And it was listening to the others who are praying that taught me. This is really good. And I hate to call the time out, but we got to get out of here. And I want you to know, if you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see Judy Dunnigan. The Loudest Roar is our featured resource for her. And then Asherita Chuchu's book, He is Enough, the Bible study of Colossians, we have that linked. But we also have a green tab there if you go to the Called Conference, which our guest is going to be speaking there tomorrow. You can find that at chrisfabrylive.org. And if that's not enough, there's a link to Moody Publishers Women, where you'll see a lot of the different studies that are available. And as an added bonus, since you listen today, on Monday, everything is 50% off. It's one day only. So come back on Monday. But you can decide, and maybe this weekend you will decide, hey, we're going to have this study, and this is the book we're going to do, and there are 10 women, and we all have to pay for 5 of them. I think that'd be a great thing. And I hope that there's somebody who's listening today who is saying, I was thinking about doing, send me the email. Tell me you heard this program, and now you're going to do it. Would love to hear from you. Thank you, Judy and Asherita, for being with us. And thank you, friend. Remember, Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, Ministry of Moody Bible Institute, at chrisfabrylive.org.